The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Ross Brierley to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's action. Three races at Sutherland that we're going to look ahead to in just a second. But first things first, how are you, Ross?
That's always a good place to start.
I don't like to just be... I'm not an aggressive interviewer. I like to welcome my guests first.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix of working with you and Mark Walton.
Yes.
You know, the different approaches.
What's Matt Walton's approach?
It's nowhere near as languid as yours.
Okay.
But to be fair, not many people's general demeanours are as languid as yours.
So. That's very, very true. I'm a very languid person.
You're incredibly languid.
And if you don't know what that means, like I don't, then we'll have to look that up later. What does it mean, lanky?
No, laid back. You know,
yeah,
really
lanky.
Kind of,
okay. It's like just sort of, I always picture a languid person being tall and laid back.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You don't get short laid back people, do you? Running around.
No, that's true. Bustling. No, that's true. Languid. Of a person, manner, or gesture having or showing a disinclination for physical exertion or effort.
That is almost a perfect. That the last 3 years of my life have been very languid, Ross.
Yeah. Else in the sense that last week you promised me you'd play football this week. And
yes.
You text me saying, actually, no, I'm not. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Languid.
That's yeah.
Next time you ask me, I'm just going to reply with the word languid.
Languid. Synonyms: relaxed, unhurried, unenergetic, slow moving.
All of these. I wouldn't say...
Not slow moving, maybe.
No.
Relaxed and unhurried, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Why would you, you know...
You've got, in theory, you've got decades.
Well.
I mean, who knows?
Pushing it.
Yeah, that's true. Although, admittedly, being languid does contribute to an early death, I imagine.
So. Yeah, but
Well, then again, on the other hand... Yeah, well, maybe then on the other hand, not, because you're not stressed about it.
Yeah.
Exactly, you haven't exerted yourself. You're not going to sort of, oh, well, you know, he had a very stressful life for 30 years and he died young.
I just think, well, he didn't leave the house for 25 years.
Yeah. You'll be like 90. Alex, what's any regrets? Any regrets? Any regrets?
Because I'm now in France, apparently.
Yeah. Any regrets? Not being able to say regrets properly, yeah. I imagine. Yeah, I'm just going to abandon this now because that's completely thrown me off.
Can we talk about horses, please?
Yes.
I think we probably should.
Yes, we can. Only if it's done in a languid style.
Okay. Well, we've got quite a sort of jam-packed podcast here because we've got the Monday jury, and some Monday juries come after an uneventful weekend, if you like.
Yeah, some Monday juries are which horses... silks did you like from the weekend? And you're like, oh, I don't know, something in a claimer.
Yeah, but this one we've actually got... we've had some fantastic racing, haven't we? In particular at Cheltenham and Leopardstown. So we're just going to nick this little piece from the Racing Post and I'll ask for some questions. So here we go. How do you rate the Gold Cup chances of Many Clouds and Jackadam after their recent wins?
Relatively highly.
Okay. Shall I give you some betting?
Yes, that would be lovely.
Silvia Conti, 3-1 favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Road to Riches, 8-1. Many Clouds at 9s, then 14s for Holywell and Lord Windermere, 16-1 for Bobsworth, Boston Bob and Jackadam, 20s or bigger the rest.
Yeah, I think Jackadam has a squeak, but will probably end up being a little bit too inexperienced for the challenge. So that would be my worry about Jackadam. And also, I just literally have no idea how he won that Thyestes because we didn't see anything.
No, that is true.
I mean, he won by 8 lengths, but he could have cut a corner for all we know.
Yeah, he couldn't say jump fluently, could you?
No, that's true.
Apparently jumped.
In theory.
Yeah.
Jumped and travelled fluently. In fact, what is it? They'll say that Racing Post, poor visibility held him in mid-division until improved to chase leaders from fifth. Poor visibility held him in mid-division until... Is that him? There he is. Yep. Oh, wait.
Doesn't help that he's in pale colours as well.
Yeah, exactly,
does it?
Yeah.
It could be a ghost. We, yes, we don't know. Something. We saw something. Could have been a van.
And out of the clouds comes the headless horseman.
And out of the clouds to many clouds.
Yes, exactly, yeah. There you go. So many clouds. I think he's a great bet.
Mm.
He's the right age, he's the right profile, he's improving at the right time, he's got course form, he proves he stays, he handles both soft and faster ground, although admittedly his best form does come on softer ground. That would, I suppose that's the worry, that's the one worry, is that his best form does come in softer ground. Mm. But he jumped like a stag, he wandered a little bit in the home straight. You can see it, I mean that happens always in a Gold Cup though, doesn't it? Once you get past that point... But once you get past the 3 mile point, your legs start to turn to jelly. And
he's genuine, he's classy, he jumps well.
Yeah.
He's improving. There's nothing not to like.
No, I agree. Last year as a novice, I had a worry that he would get outstayed over staying trips, mm-hmm. because he did it on a couple of occasions, most notably when he lost at Ascot to O'Phelan's boy. So, yeah, I thought maybe that he might well be more of a 2.5 miler. And then he went to Carlisle over that trip. And then he obviously went to Newbury and outstayed them all. And last time out at Cheltenham, on Saturday at Cheltenham as well, yeah, he did exactly the same thing. Jumped perfectly. And I mean, Smad Place and Dinas got in each other's way to an extent. But that's because many clouds had put them under pressure.
But that would appear to be rock solid form.
Yeah,
in terms of
yeah.
They're not two horses that sometimes, you know, they're a bit in and out. They always run to a similar level.
I agree, yeah.
And in Dinas' case, has been there and done that, if you like, in quality races.
I think he's got a great chance, mainly because I just really don't... just a wide-open market. I love the Gold Cup market every year because people constantly back the same horses. Oh, well, if he does this that he did last year and this, that and the other, the horses don't do what they did last year in the Gold Cup.
This is where we're going to have a disagreement because I've had one anti-post bet and it's Bobsworth. Purely as a price play.
Well, yeah, maybe, but I thought you were going to say Silvio Narco Conti.
No.
But I mean, the market's wide open because the favourite...
Yes, is too short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to do something he's tried twice and failed, and that just... It's
not at 3-1.
Really doesn't work.
No, whereas Bobsworth, we know if he's going to bounce back to form, it will be at Cheltenham.
I can kind of see why you've...
6-16 to 1 now. It was a, you know, at 20s, which
it was,
it was
a speculative poke.
Yes.
Which is fine.
Yes. So if you were going to have a bet in the Gold Cup, would it be many clouds?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. Right, next question. Is Safir de Roy the answer in the World Hurdle? Betting for this, more of that 7-2, Safir de Roy 7-1, Zakanda 9s, 10s for Lieutenant Colonel and Rock on Ruby, 12s or bigger the rest.
Well, it's another one that's a bit, again, the market's open. There's not many with solid profiles. I'm quite looking forward to this Cheltenham now, the more you kind of think about it.
Mm.
I mean, Safir de Roy, again, very similar, almost identical to Big Books in the sense that, you know, a talented hurdler going chasing and those plans being abandoned to come back to win the Cleve in battling fashion. Big Books, of course, beat Punches Towns and announced himself on the scene. And, of course, remember, Connections also had Celestial Halo.
Well, I think I saw Andy Stewart saying that this horse reminds him more of Celestial Halo than Big Books. There's obvious comparisons with Big Books, but he said, if I was going to compare it to one, it would be more...
He's a bit slower than Big Books, yeah, definitely. He's a good ride by Sam Twist and Davies. Again, if he'd have got beaten a neck, you wouldn't have questioned it. You'd have said, fair enough, beaten by Rev de Civil, a multiple grade one winner, after a couple of bad experiences of offences. I thought it was a fantastic ride on a very game horse who has plenty much more to come, and... Yeah, I think he's got a great chance. He's got to have a great chance.
I think 7-1's a surprisingly big price, I think, because you look at the ones below him, and you've got Zakanda, Rock on Ruby. This is whether they all turn up. You know, Annie Power is 12s.
Well, Annie Power will probably go for the mares if she
you would imagine
turn up.
So. Zakanda and Rock on Ruby...
don't necessarily stay.
No, and even if they do, they're not winning machines, are they?
No, not
if
at
you
all,
like.
No.
You've got Rev de Civil at 14s that we didn't mention. And
yeah, but it
would need a bit of a bog, wouldn't he, you'd imagine, to win. But
yeah. No, again, I think it's a very reasonable price.
Mm.
Yeah, again, I mean, Big Books, we're looking at it through the eyes of history, as it were, but he was probably a similar type, like I say, in terms of the betting at the time, because I actually backed him anti-post for World Hurdle on the day of the Cleve at sort of 10-1, I think it was. So he can't have shortened that much. I mean, he was 6-1 when he won the Cleve, Sorry, he was 7-2 when he won the Cleveland. He was 6-1 when he won the World Hurdle Big Books.
The first
when
time.
He first won the So bearing in mind, Safiedo is 7-1 now. If he comes in a couple of points, it is going to be very, very similar.
Mm.
So I think he's got a great chance.
Okay,
very much a stall set out for the connections, I think.
Okay. Fair enough. A good Monday jury so far. We're just agreeing with everything that they've asked. Next
it up. Very rarely happens.
No, it's true. Can you see past Peace & Co in the Triumph Hurdle? Peace & Co 7-4 favourite for that one. 8-1 Bristol Demai. 10s for Kalkia. 12s Hargam. 14s Top Notch. 20s all bigger the rest. Simon Munier's got quite a nice... He owns this race, doesn't he? It's feasible that he could have half the runners in this race.
He's got three genuine contenders.
Oh, well, he's got three of the first five there, hasn't he? In Peace & Co, Bristol Demai, and Top Notch.
Yeah, exactly. And
who's to say that he won't have another one come along in the next?
Yeah, he's probably spending $100,000 on something from France without us even knowing about it. Can I see past him? Well, at the prices, God, yes, definitely. Mm. To be fair, the Triumph Hurdle is one I usually sit down because it's as close to a flat race as you're going to get in terms of the horses that turn up. So. I do very much like the speed figures do hold up very strongly, and I haven't looked at them yet properly in this race, to be fair. So I don't know. I mean, there's a certain level you have to have hit, really, to be able to win a Triumph Hurdle. And Peace & Co, at first glance, would definitely appear to be up there, obviously. But it's a great little race. There's loads of them thrown down genuine challenges.
Mm.
And the likes of Karazak and Golden Doyen are very much lines through the form. Karazak has turned into he's gone back to being the Twicer I thought he was after I took him on at Chepstow and he won. First time ever hurdles. I thought, maybe hurdles will be the maker of, but no, he's finished second on his last four starts now.
Mm.
I mean, I back Karazak each way at 25-1 because he'll be in the three because that's what he does. He'll finish second or third.
Mm. See, I was going to say that Peace & Co obviously beat Karazak at the weekend, and I personally, I don't think that's incredible form. But then you look at the betting and you go, well, hang on. Karazak's, what, 7th or 8th in at 20s? Golden Doyen is sort of 12th or 13th in at the 33s.
Well, Bristol Dynamite beat Karazak by 6 lengths. Obviously, you look at that and you go, well, Bristol Dynamite was a better horse. But obviously, testing ground Chepstow, very different kind of conditions. And then you've got Hargam as well, who also beat Karazak by 1.25 lengths, but was beaten by Golden Doyen before then.
Mm.
Although that... he maybe should have won that day, Hargam. It was just inexperience and freshness. So, yeah, so there's a lot to sort of work out. And like I said, then you've got Top Notch to throw in and Vercingetorix, perhaps.
I do like Top Notch.
Yeah, I think his form isn't quite as good,
but
then he's not been asked as much as the rest, necessarily. He hasn't run in a graded race, It depends which way you want to look at it. I would see that as a negative.
Mm.
Because he hasn't been truly tested. But some people might say, well, he might have a bit more improvement to come. But then so might the other ones who also run in greater races. So, personally, if I was having a bet, I would back either Karazak each way now, or he's going to place. So Karazak to hit the frame is going to be my angle in the Triumph Hurdle, or it is at the moment.
Right.
But I haven't sat down and properly looked at it. But Peace & Co, he's got loads of speed. You've got to like the way he travels through races. And also the fact that he pulled away on the other day as well. He kind of ran on the spot for a bit. When he tried to go past Karazak, he did a bit of a roadrunner. And then he went, boop, 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 and went off into the distance.
We couldn't hear that, could we?
No, you couldn't.
But he did. He definitely did.
Mm. Well, Wile E. Coyote. Well, Karazak was doing that one, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yeah.
Well, Karazak fell into a ravine. So Peace & Co, I can see passing at the prices, but he's going to be very, very hard to beat.
Okay. Well, our boss, Ben Bramley... is not a Peace & Co fan. He's got an issue with the horse's head carriage, which, having watched the race at Doncaster, wasn't it? Having watched that back, I can kind of see where he's coming from, especially at 7-4.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd need to have absolutely no concerns about anything to be getting involved.
He's relatively inexperienced and he's a free goer. So
Ben or Peace & Co?
We're going with either Peace? Or.
Right, okay.
he's certainly got... There's certainly a chink in the armour, but then that goes for... everything, but like you said, it's playing at the prices.
Yeah, and of course, Arabian Revolution in at 25s at the time of recording, which is before racing, and that one's running at Ludlow. So if that hacks up, then that one may come in and could be interesting as well. Again, another horse that we don't know a great deal about.
No.
Okay, next one. Looking forward to the Racing Post article. Can you see a chink in Undersow's armour. He's the 4-5 market leader from Voltor at 6s, Justice Hill at 8s, Clarkham at 10s, and Gil Gamboa and Vibrato Valtat at 12s. Initially, Ross, you just you can look at the market there and go, well, hang on, he's beaten half of the horses that are just in behind him in the betting already. Why would he not do so again?
Well, yeah, there's a massive chink in his armour, and that's his run style, which you don't get Arkle winners really doing that. You don't really get Cheltenham winners leading all the way. It just very rarely happens.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Mr. McGoldrick.
Yeah.
or Buena Vista in a handicap. You know, something bizarre like that.
Did Barizan ever win? He didn't win, did he? That
no,
time?
He got picked up, didn't he?
Mm. That's just a case in point. It doesn't tend to work.
Yeah, and it happens a lot in the like the amount of talented front running Arkle runners who've got beaten. It would be a relatively healthy list. Admittedly, he's a wonderful horse, and he seemed to be in a different gear to the rest of them the other day.
Mm.
And obviously, there is holes in everything. Joss's Hill's jumping, Vautour doesn't look necessarily as bomb-proof as he did, and whether, you know, I'm not sure what Mullins is thinking here. He's beat Clarkham. So there's a lot.
Petty Zig at 14s?
That
doesn't look too bad, because, like you said, there are holes in most of them. Vibrato Valtat, Gil Gamboa, obviously Gil Gamboa and Clarkham already beaten. Vibrato Valtat
Petit Zig's going to go for the JLT, most likely. He's 4-1 for the JLT. So that's it. You don't know. It could turn out to be a tiny field again. Mm. I mean, there's loads in the betting, loads of them. He'll win, or he'll beat himself, or something, as in sense that so far he's been allowed to show off.
Mm.
It's like, he can do an amazing kick. Keepy uppies, fantastic. This guy's amazing. How does he do keepy uppies if after 10 I run in and kick the ball away? He's like, yeah, he's not so good then. So that's the thing with Underskirt. If someone goes, let's put a spoiler in, let's really rustle him up.
Well, of course, last year Champagne Fever made most, if not all, and got collared by Western Wars, which you could say, okay, that's a one off, but at the same time, that what price was Western Wars? 40s, was it? It was a very, very big price when winning it last year.
Yeah.
It could be like that again.
He's a very different horse, and he's very different to Champagne Fever. But anything can actually spoil him as well.
Yeah.
Does anything have that early ability to go with him? The fact is, if he's not sufficiently put out of his comfort zone, he will win the Arkle. Mm-hmm. If he is, we just don't know.
Okay.
And right now, I'm not backing 10-11 to find out whether after 3 furlongs my bet is suddenly a 2-1 shot.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
What will beat him is I.
No.
God knows. It could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but put it this way: he's not going to go off a great deal shorter than 4-5. You wouldn't have thought.
Well, he might do because, like I said, because there's a lot of horses in here. You look in the field and you go, well, that might not run. That's got for something else. That's going to get beat anyway.
It can't be
going
twos on, can it?
Someone will take him on without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Okay.
He might be SP of 1-3, but in the morning you might get even money.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So.
Okay, the final question we're going to look at is, would you get off Hurricane Fly to ride Faheen in the Champion Hurdle? The betting for that one, even money for Heen, the new one 3-1, Jeski at 6s, Hurricane Fly at 8s, Arctic Fire 16s, and 20s or bigger the rest.
Would I get off Hurricane Fly to get on Faheen?
Yes, I think it's a question aimed at Ruby Walsh.
Basically. Oh, God, yeah, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Wouldn't even have to consider it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even for a second.
Is that question done, or...?
Well, if you like.
Is that you saying Faheen wins the Champion Hurdle?
No, I'm saying Hurricane Fly doesn't win the Champion Hurdle.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Hurricane Fly is 10 from 10 at Leopardstown.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, really, given the races he runs in. And he had to do it a different way the other day. You know, he was niggled. He was niggled quite a bit out. But soft ground, Leopardstown, those kind of races, he's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And to be fair, he's looked just as good as he ever has, if anything, in the last couple of starts. But he has been repeatedly beating up Jeski, who hasn't had his conditions in any way. He hasn't had his best jockey on board, and he hasn't had good ground. So he's repeatedly beating a horse who is not having his best conditions while he has his best conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And Foyn literally has to improve half a stone to batter him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no reason why he wouldn't do that. Okay. So, yes, I would immediately get off him. He's a great, he's a wonderful horse, but...
Should he be 8-1 when Jeske's 6-1?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I think once Barry Geraghty will get on Jeske and the good ground... I mean, the way Jeske travelled...
Why will Geraghty get on Jeske?
Well, why wouldn't he?
Because McCoy's retained. And there's no other...
Yeah, true, I suppose,
JP Horse, prominent in the betting.
All right, if Geraghty gets on Jeske, yeah. No, you're right. But even up to that point, he travelled like the best horse in that race the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Jeske was swinging away.
Yeah.
And then he clattered last, and that put pay to it.
Well, he was almost forgotten about last year, Jeske.
He was, definitely.
And I'm not saying
he'll
be forgotten about this year, but...
Well, I backed him last year because I thought he got a pretty poor ride in the Supreme Novices.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a price play. It was like, why is he a 9-1 shot?
Yeah.
But he's a good ground horse.
Similarly, the forgotten horse this year could be the new one, but you're not getting the value there at 3-1. The new one's the horse certainly with the least buzz about it this year, if you like.
Yeah, well...
But that's because
but
of the campaign.
But then he's
campaign,
too, isn't he? No, I think Jeske should be shorter than Hurricane Fly, and I would get off Hurricane Fly to get on for him the heartstrings would tug, but the brain would be screaming.
Okay. And do you think Fahin will win it?
Probably, yeah.
And is even money a fair enough price?
No, it's never a fair enough price.
Never?
Maybe, you know,
could be for something.
For the sun rising, yeah. Okay. I mean, at this point, for a Cheltenham race.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. There is one more question, which is which other performances got you revved up with the spring festivals in mind? But you answered that one last week. And frankly...
Well, it's just more that nothing this weekend
wasn't anything that's not going for one of the races that we've already talked about, basically. Yeah.
Nothing that got excited. Like I said, if we're talking about jumps races, then no.
Yeah, and we are, apart from now, when we're not. Because we're going to talk about Suttle on Tuesday. Unfortunately, we've already lost Lingfield. That one's waterlogged. Taunton is the other card. But we're going to look at the 2-10 at Suttle first. It's a filly's handicap, 6 furlongs the trip, a Class 5 event. Just the 4 runners going to post here. Couldn't really rule any of them out. Even Six Wives is likely to be the outsider. Does like it here. But you'd imagine the market will be formed around the two recent winners, Abby Scarlett, who absolutely loves it here, and Barb's Princess, who's a bit of an unknown quantity.
Yeah, I think you can rule two of them out.
All right.
That's 50% of the field.
Fair enough.
Six Wives is a pure 5 furlong horse. A musical mile just isn't quite good enough.
Okay.
I think the top two are so much better than the other two that it's ridiculous, really. Abby Scarlett is an absolute machine round here. Absolutely love her. She does incredible times. She very, very rarely runs a bad race. And she's won the last two. But she's drawn in one. She's up in the weights. And she's got an improving horse to beat. I didn't like Barb's Princess last year. I thought she was a little bit weak in a finish. But she very much put pay to that last time out at Wolverhampton. It's a first start on the surface. Which is obviously, but Abby Scarlett's going to be what, 4-5, and Barb's Princess is going to be 9-4 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I'd much rather take a chance on her. It was a good figure. It was a really impressive performance, I thought, at Wolverhampton. Like I said, there was a couple of times last year I thought, not entirely sure she wants to put it all in. But George Baker got a great tune out of her last time out, and he retains the ride. That's the first time he's been on the last time. So I would. If they price it up as I think they will price it up,
could be a value play as much as anything else.
Well, if I think it's a 2-horse race and one of them is
much
bigger than the other, then I'm going to take that chance regardless of the surface question marks.
Yeah.
So, given the way I would imagine it would be priced up, I will take Barb's Princess. But it is with heavy heart that I'm taking on Abby Scarlett.
Okay. Next up is the 240. It's a claiming stakes over a mile, a Class 6 event with 8 runners going to post. If we can keep all 8, this might have a fairly nice each-way feel to it, Ross, because there isn't a standout performer, if you like. These are all horses that run around here a fair bit, run in these kind of races a fair bit, yet none of them are prolific winners.
Yeah, I mean, the market's going to... Well, like I said, this is more one of those races where you think, oh, anything could probably win this.
Mm.
Glenten's probably not got its ideal conditions. Mishriff is talented on his day, but probably just the weights, just struggling a little bit. Powerful Pierre, again, not his conditions either. Slinky McVelvet's interesting, but coming off the back of a break. And Scottish, was impressive today, Joe Fan, in the way that he got that mare up, but she's drawn in one again and she's going to get sand kicked in her face. So that leaves us with Toto Tsukalaki, Mega Munch and Tartan Trip. I think Tartan Trip will most likely be favourite, given the fact that it's trained by Michael Appleby, ridden by Luke Morris, and has a relatively good record round here. Won here back in January last season. Struggled since then, but they were in decent handicaps behind Unexposed Types. So again, I think at the weights he's got to be respected, as has Mega Munch, who has got a decent record round here as well, one win and a second. I think Mega Munch is a massive danger to Tartan Trip, but I would go with old Toto, who had cheek pieces applied last time out and ran an absolute stinker at odds of 6-5 over course and distance. Previous to that, he chased home a very well handicapped individual in Starfield, and the last time he wore cheek pieces, he ran an absolute stinker. So I think having cheek pieces is clearly a negative for him. So I think he will probably be priced up a little bit bigger than he should be on the back of a bad run. But he's taken quite well to this surface, apart from that one bad run. You know, since November, his record apart from that is his first, second, fifth over 7 furlongs, then second over a mile, and then that bad run last time out. So I'd probably go with Toto. But okay. I think it's a Toto, Mega Munch and Tartan Trip will battle it out.
The final race we're going to look at is the 3:40. It is a handicap over a mile, class 6 event with 9 runners going to post. We'll start with hindsight here, Ross, who won here last time out. I'd say it wasn't the strongest race. I think it was a relatively strong race, but I think the race was almost handed to him, with Falcon's Reign maybe not going through with his effort especially, and he sort of sneaked up the inside. But that said, he's now a horse that is sort of going the right way. And I was only his second run at Suttle, the first coming way back in 2012, where he ran okay, 3rd of 8 at 20-1. So it could just be that with hindsight, maybe a Suttle specialist, if you like. We just don't know it yet.
Don't know it yet, exactly. Yeah, it's a fair point, yeah. I agree. And also the fact, it kind of counter the argument, he snuck up the inside the other day on the Shelley Burkitt, which is never the best place to be. However, Falcon's Reign and Novelist were basically
eating each other, I think, up the home straight.
Yeah, they were. They spent the whole home straight kind of going, no, you go, no, you go, no, you go. One of them didn't. Novelist doesn't necessarily stay a mile at his best, and Falcon's Reign doesn't necessarily want to win. So Shelley Burkitt, it was one of those ones that if she hadn't won on with hindsight, she should have done.
Yes.
So you're right, will things go that way again? The other one is Roger Thorpe, but he's drawing box one, which immediately puts me off. It's not impossible by any stretch of the imagination. He's not a bad horse on this surface. Again, he's won a couple. He finished 3rd behind Best Time of Yours in a good race on his penultimate start, and then last time out he ran at Wolverhampton and ran a really nice race actually behind Darnell's Present in one of those really competitive class 6 handicap. Darnell's Present's gone on and won again in a much better race, so that form looks good. But this last chance saloon for me for City of Angkor Wat, who should have won a few starts ago when his amateur rider didn't give him a great ride behind Uncle Brit. He got beaten a quarter of length. He should have won a quarter of length. He then ran at Wolverhampton again behind Colter Kayleen, who went on to place in that race won by Darnell's Present, which was a very strong handicap the other day. Poppy Bomb was back in 3rd again, another horse in great form. Gabriel the Thug was in 5th. That's won since. Navajo Dream was back in 8th. That ran a good 2nd the other day. That form is rock solid. And then last time ran over a strip that stretches him by quite a bit over at Kempton, and ran a really nice race in a very strong time behind an unexposed horse in the shape of Delarkey. Back down to his best trip, back at Suttle. Like I said, his first start at Suttle, he should have won. So it's last chance saloon for him. Again, the regular placings and infrequent wins do worry you a little bit.
But you also know he's going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, if he was 3 or 4 to 1, I'd put him in every each way double I could find.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Yeah. Okay then, Roscoe, can you just spin us for your 3 picks at Suttle on Tuesday, please?
I can indeed. In the 2:10, we're going to go for Barb's Princess to beat Abby Scarlet. In the 2:40, we'll go with the old boy Toto Tsukalaki. And in the 3:40, it's Last Chance Saloon for City of Angkor Wat.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.